Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of B Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Isn't God good? You have to say it like you mean it, eh? God is good. And all the time, yes, amen. He says it's because of His goodness. His goodness leads us to repentance. Sometimes our hearts, it says like sheep, we all go astray. But His faithfulness and His goodness takes us and leads us back. So we are so glad for God's faithfulness and God's goodness in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. I couldn't see, I didn't turn my head quick enough. Is there anyone who hasn't received a prophetic word in their life before? Anyone? Everybody. Yes, you're a blessed church. Huh? Amen. Sure. I wanted to get some guys here to prophesy over you, but now... Yeah. Sure. Well, that's good. God will do what He said. God will do. I want to tell you, sometimes there's just a time span to word. We are walking in certain words now that was even prophesied 5 years back. It's sometimes a time for the fulfillment. You know that sometimes God's word of God's blessing, God's promise to you can kill you if it's premature. So He gives us certain things, but sometimes He needs to take us now and mature us that we can handle what He gives us. Otherwise, it's just going to go to waste. So God doesn't waste His words. So whenever God gives us, sometimes He prepares us now so that we can be mature and handle that and use it carefully so that we can bring glory to Him. Amen. So I want to encourage you, if you don't see that yet, keep on going and keep on trusting, for He is faithful. He will do that what He has said. Amen. Great. Just two things before we get into the Word. And so Tuesday morning, unfortunately, We had the news that Kubus, the caretaker, was here, passed away. You know, he went through some challenges and some health issues, and unfortunately, you know, he passed away. And it's for us so sad, and we want to say our condolences to the family, Monica and Pia. They are in the congregation, and then the other daughters. He's got three daughters. So if you want to join in, we're going to have Tuesday 11 o'clock. We're going to have his memorial service here. So you're more than welcome to join and be part of that if that's possible, if you want to. So, yeah, that's for sad, but we know that God is good and that now Kubus has got a leg back. Amen. He's fully complete. Amen. Praise God. So that's the one. And then the second part, for those who weren't here last week, we laid hands and we sent Pastor Eckhart and Pastor Anzel with their family to go and aid a church that's got some needs and some help. They're going through tough times and transitions, and they need a bit of stability and help. So for those who watched or maybe just caught it with one half ear, we didn't release them and send them away, and they're going to go. We're sending them on a mission, all right? We send them to go with a specific purpose and come back with a good report, amen? So for now, it's going to be a three-month period to just help the church that needs help to navigate through certain things, to help bring stability and to help them to fulfill their purpose, to help them get to the fullness and to get to a place where they can function as God has called them to function. And for us, it's kingdom. For us, we want to see God's kingdom not damaged, but God's kingdom to be lifted up and expanding. And so we are so excited to be able to do that. We're not just sending them to do that, but we're also sending intercessors. So each week we're sending a team of intercessors to go and pray for them and pray for the church. Amen? So if you want to be of service, you say, I'll go and intercede. I'll volunteer, come and speak to us. And then we'll arrange for you to go and be in that part. Amen? So just to let everyone understand again what we are doing. And while I was waiting on the Lord for this week, I had to speak at a conference yesterday, Jesus conference. It was such a lovely place, but Heidi asked me to come and share a specific message that I preached about 5 years back here on form to function. That's what we are, formed to function. And there's certain things I went through and I'm realizing, hey, I think God wants to remind us of certain principles and just who we are, because this is to the core of what we are and the core of what we do. But there's two things that I want to do this morning. So I'm not going to go through the full thing. I want to remind you and refresh you. For those who haven't heard this before, this is the core of who we are at Be Church, but we are formed to function. Come on, say just formed to function. Amen. You're such a better crowd than yesterday. I had to get them going to talk with me. And you guys, I've missed you. So you are this morning the most sophisticated crowd that I spoke to ever before. But the first thing what we see God doing in creation, I'm just going to recap a little bit. Remember that as God comes, as he says, as the Spirit hovered above the earth and he moved on the face of the deep, we see that God comes and he forms man, isn't it? He comes, there's the creation period where God forms and he makes. But there's a unique thing that God does when he forms man, because everything in creation God speaks to. You know that, and I say, we do it like this. Now it says, when God said, let there be light, isn't it? There has to be the deep voice. Because you can't imagine God creating and he says, let there be light. You know, it just doesn't make sense, isn't it? So maybe you want that voice. Maybe say, let there be light, and the voice you want to give God. Okay, let's do that. 1, 2, 3. Let there be light. Good. Even the ladies go deep. Good, but I mean, so God speaks and he says, let there be light, and it is. And it says that the ground trembled and everything started to come into place and fall into place. And the Bible doesn't tell us what the voice of God sounds like, but you know, like many rushing waters and all those, and like thunder, but in your mind you can have the voice you want to. But it speaks of let there be light, and it speaks of the first day and the second and the third day and the fourth day. And it speaks of you know, creating the lesser light and the greater lights, having one, you know, in the day and one in the night. And he spoke on the fifth day of the creeping things. And he says, let there be life. And, you know, here and there and everywhere, suddenly, even in your kitchen, you see certain life sometimes. And, you know, all the creeping things. But then on the sixth day, this is the amazing thing. This is the thing that happens. Is God doesn't come and he speak and says, let there be man. God comes and he says, he takes man from the dust and he forms him. There's such a huge, big difference, because everything, exactly what Adrian just now said, God is not a man that he should lie. Whatever he speaks, it comes. So he spoke and it is. So he speak and it comes. But with man, he comes and he forms us. He touches man. And that's the one thing that I want to do this morning. We're going to be quick, because I want to anoint everyone this morning, because touching stimulates your pituitary gland that causes you to grow. And I want to do that this morning, that we touch you so that there can be an impartation and a release for the season to grow. Amen. That something shifts in your life and that you can grow this morning, because God touches. So we're going to just be that proxy this morning, standing and touching you, trusting that it's God touching you, but that something activates in your life for growth this year. Because touching, that's why. Ever since God touched us, we've been needing a touch. And we need that physical stimulation to be whole and to be complete. So we're going to touch. So that's the one thing we're gonna do. It's not a want, it's a need. We need to be touched. You see those experiments where babies are born and the one they give the affection and the touch and the other one just leave, you know, and the effects that it has. We need, it's not a want, we need to be touched. And when he formed us from the dust, isn't it? But this is the crux, because I want to remind you of who we are and where we're going at Be Church. But we are formed to function. God calls you into a body to function, not to just warm a stool, not just to warm a pew or be here, but to function. So he forms us from the dust, but what did he form? He formed the container, isn't it? Not the content. He just formed the box, that who you are. This is just the box. When you die, that box can maybe fade away, but who you are remains, isn't it? He formed the container. And then finally it speaks of, what did he do? He blew his breath into Adam. He says a life-giving breath, the breath of life into him. In other words, he formed the container, the box, and then he blew the content of who Adam is into the container. Come on. That's what he has done. He blew into Adam the content of who he is. And that's why God, we need to see two things. When God comes, when God is one as a former, he forms things. And we see this pattern that God forms, but then whatever God forms, He fills. So you need to know if you are being formed in His image and likeness, there's a step two, He's going to fill you. One amen? He forms you and He fills you. That's He formed the sea and He filled it with fish. He formed the air, He filled it with birds, not bears. Bears fly. Only in Alaska. He formed the tabernacle, isn't it? He filled it with furniture. Formed man and He filled him with breath. Whenever God forms, He will fill. That's His covenant. When we see the pattern of first, like first fruits, we see first mention, then we see the pattern. So when God started, He forms, then He fills. So if you're at a place that, the Holy Spirit, I've never, then you miss something still. God wants to give you His Spirit because when He formed you, He said, I will fill you. I will fill you. The Holy Spirit is for everybody because He fills you with His Spirit. And this is the pattern. Whatever He forms, He fills. And that's why He tells Jeremiah, go to the potter's house and see what I've done to you. Because when you look at the potter's house, he goes down, he sees the potter working on the clay, working on the fill, he says. So he's making a container. And he says, now you need to understand that I knew you in before you were in the belly. I knew you even before you were in the belly. I knew you. Come on. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. In other words, God says that before your container was made, I knew your content. I knew who you were. What God is actually saying is, hey, long even before you were formed, I had it going on with you. I had a plan and a purpose even before you were made together, before you were knitted together. Come on. Come on. So there's a plan and a purpose and a function. God didn't send you, even if you maybe were, as we say, an accident, not planned or whatever. God doesn't mind those things. What He says is, I have a plan for you. I formed you with purpose. I've sent you. Some of us, we maybe arrived in that style, but that's not determining who you are and what you should be. God has got a plan for you. God has got a purpose. I'm going to tell you, even if it happened in another way, you were still in His heart and in His mind and in His purpose. God has got a plan for you. So you need to start understanding that God knew you even before you were made. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. And when you were conceived, He put that content into your body so that you can have the full DNA and makeup to be successful for your purpose. And that's why we are formed to function. But what happened? Because He says, hey, I formed you, but what did we do? He says, you're only functioning when you are filled with the breath of God. Remember when Adam was formed, he didn't function. Is it? God says what? He gave them the garden. He says, have dominion over, isn't it? Rule, reign, multiply, do these things. But when did that happen? It only happened after God blew His breath into him, not before. So God forms him. He gives him life. He breathes, He fills him. And then He says, you can have. So you are not able to have dominion and function if you're not filled. You need to be filled with the presence. You need to be filled with the Spirit before you can exercise that dominion. Before you can walk in that fullness. Because God says, I blew only that what I knew. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. He says, so the thing that I did is I blew that what I knew into that what I formed. And you actually now just becoming that what I've said over you. That's what God's busy doing with you. And that's the same thing that we see over and over and over and over again. When Jesus was formed, that's why He came to Mary and He says, hey, I need to, before someone forms with you, I need to use your body to form the Son in you so that He can come. And what happens? Jesus is here now, but they're trying to nail Him to the cross. They're trying to kill the Word. But remember, they couldn't nail Him to the cross. They nailed the container, not the content. They nailed the container, not the content. So Jesus is alive. And God comes and He speaks. And there's a purpose. And something happens when you start being filled with the power of God. Acts 2, Peter comes. And you remember the day of Pentecost where Holy Spirit breaks upon. And I say, but you are drunk and all these things. And Peter stands up and he says, hey, this is only the third hour. Impossible to be drunk. Men of Judea, listen. This is what the prophet Joel has prophesied. That all men, all sons, all daughters, everyone shall prophesy and dream dreams and start speaking in tongues, receive the Spirit. This is that what was prophesied. And he starts preaching. But maybe just let's backtrack. Peter was a disciple, and then when Christ is crucified, he stands at the fire and they say, "Hey, you're one of his." And what does he say? "Mm-mm. You got the wrong guy. Not me." Jesus said, you're gonna deny me. And he denies him time and again. He says, wrong person. It's not me. He's fearful and afraid of people who wants to come and say, but you're connected to him. And suddenly after the empowering of the Spirit, when there's a baptism, Peter, that same jellyback Peter that was denying him, suddenly stands up and preaches with boldness, and 3,000 comes to the Lord. It's interesting that have you heard when Jesus was preaching about the miracles? The Bible speaks in the New Testament when he says, when he did the 5,000, gave bread, who knows? He says, and how many ate 5,000 what? Who? Men. And then he says, and with them were women and children. He doesn't mention the women and children. He says, always he mentions the men. So he says there were so many men, and then later on, women and children. And when the baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place, it says, men and women were together. So the Holy Spirit unifies and neutralizes that just men. It makes a space and a platform for men and women. You need to start understanding that all of us has got a purpose. All of us has got a place to function. All of us has a destiny. So Peter suddenly changes his character. His personality changes. Some of you can do it without the Holy Spirit. But we want the Holy Spirit to come actually and change your personality into what He has for you in mind. Into what He has got for you, isn't it? So some of us, we say, all the introverts, raise your hand. You see, they're like, okay, a little bit higher. You see. But that's what the Holy Spirit does, is even if you're introvert, it changes your personality to become bold, to come and become the purpose and that what God has for you, to say, hey, I can speak with confidence and boldness, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. Peter suddenly stood and spoke with boldness in the midst of the people he was afraid of. So God calls us to be formed to be filled so that we can function, isn't it? But He needs to fill us with the Spirit. You know, the only reason that sometimes we walk in fear is because fear is the result of self-dwelling. Self-dwelling. Fear is a result of being filled up with yourself. Because fear causes you, what are they going to think about me? You know, what are they going to say about me? They're going to laugh at me. It's all about the me. So fear is all about me. But when the Holy Spirit comes and fills you, it's then all about Him. When you're filled with Him, it's all about Him, isn't it? And then you don't have to worry. And so He says, this is that was prophesied, that the Spirit of God will not just be blown into Adam and be on Jesus and be on the one and the 70, but on all flesh. Come on, say all flesh. All flesh. So He says, I formed you. But you couldn't form and you couldn't function before I filled you. So I form you, I fill you, but now you're going to start functioning. You have to function. You have to function. Come on. I don't like things broken, is it? We just moved in our house and there was a lot of things broken, and it takes a lot of hard work to fix things that's broken. But let's use this example that I've did of the toaster. If you have your toaster and it's not working, it's useless to keep on cleaning the toaster and keep it there if it's not functioning, isn't it? Because at some stage you're going to actually forget it's not working, and you're going to take your nice slices of bread, put it in and push the button, and you're going to wait and wait and wait, and nothing happens. Because you've been keeping something around that's not functioning. Or it doesn't pop up, and now suddenly it catches fire and there's a fire in the kitchen, isn't it? Now you're in trouble. I want to tell you that if you don't function, it means that the curse becomes inevitable. If you're not functioning, curses start to operate. That's what's happening. Jesus comes and he sees the fig tree, isn't it? He comes to the fig tree and then he looks at the fig tree expectant for what? Fruit. It needs to function. It's a fig tree. Bring figs. He doesn't see it and he curses it. He says, hey, tree, why are you taking up space on the ground? If you're not functioning, hey, take it away. He speaks to the fig tree. He says, you're taking up space. He says, I formed you to function, and when I look, I want to see fruit. So he curses it. So if you're not functioning, curses start to operate. But God wants you to function. And that's why he's going to continually stir your heart and stir your spirit. Stir your life so that you can function. There's a purpose for you. Amen? I know that some of us, we are going through a stage of being formed first. So maybe you're not functioning yet, but maybe you're in a forming stage. And maybe you say, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. I want to encourage you because trust him. He's the potter. You are the clay. He says the clay doesn't tell the potter, what are you making of me? I don't like what you're doing. Your life doesn't belong to you. But are you at a place that you can say, Lord, whatever is your will, I lay it down. The way you form me, because sometimes God bends you and he pushes you away. He stretches you. You know, you're going through all these changes and it's just going crazy around you. But God forms you. God is busy doing certain things because he says, I'm forming you now so that I can fill you because I know what's your function. I know where I want you to be. I know how you fit into the body. And one of the things that we struggle with and what we need to get to grow up. I love Romans, I think it's 16, the last part of Romans. It says, or 15, where it says, The spiritually mature help those who are spiritually immature to embrace them and help them with patience to come to a place of maturity. So you either mature and you help others. You can say, oh, that guy irritates me. And that guy's, if you mature, then God calls you to accountability and say, your job is to help the others to come to maturity so that we can raise up the body, so that we can bless because you are part of the body. Another part that we struggle with is that we so in competition of each other's gifts and of our callings. That's like, I am actually a foot, but no, I want to be the eye, or I want to be the finger, and I want to be there. You need to find your place and become satisfied, contained with what God gave you. So often we desire so much other places, and therefore, again, you're not functioning, you're self-destructive, and curses operate. Because God calls you into function. If you're not functioning, it becomes a problem. Come on. You need to function in the right place. You need to function where God calls you. I said it. There's nothing such as being out of service. You've come to a place, especially an airport, or you want to pay your ticket or something, and it says out of service. There's no such thing when you are called by God that you say out of service. There's no sign like that. God calls you. He says, I formed you. I filled you. You need to function. There's a place for you. Come on. There's a place for you. This is just one example. Ezekiel 37, you know that. The dry bones. He speaks to the prophet and he says, hey, what do you see? A valley of dry bones. And he says, okay, but start prophesying. Can these bones live? And he starts speaking and he says, hey, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And he speaks, and what happens? They're coming together. They're forming. There's the forming. They're coming together. Then again he speaks, he says, they don't have breath in them. And he says, prophesy the breath, the life into them. And he prophesies, and what happens? They're filled with breath, isn't it? So first they're coming together, they formed. Then they prophesy the breath, they are filled. And what happens? What's the result? Here's the functioning. An exceeding great army rises. Come on. Exceeding great armies. So you have to be formed, you have to be filled, and then there's functioning. The same with the day of Pentecost. They were all together in the upper room. They were forming. They were formed all together. Then the Holy Spirit came and poured out. They were all filled and functioning. Peter stood up and started preaching. Functioning. You have to function. But you see, you cannot function out of your own place. You need to be filled and then you function from the unction of the Holy Spirit. Come on, that's what He gives you. Say, I have to function from an unction. That unction is not your desire, your thinking, your way. Because sometimes we have unctions as well, isn't it? You have to function from an unction of the Spirit. Everyone has got to function. Ephesians 4, we quote it, so God gave apostles and prophets and all these things. We like that part. But the second part from verse 13 on says, so that when every part, are you part of a body? Come on, raise your hand if you're part of this body. Then you have a function. Everyone in the body, every part in the body has a function. Even though in the body we can take out a gallbladder and we can remove that, it actually is not just there to take up space, it's got a function. So even whatever, every part in the body has got a function. And God calls you the body. He calls us a body, isn't it? That means, come on. Yeah. That means you've got a function. You've got a function. Everything works better if you function properly. God didn't put kidneys in you and just fill the space. Your kidneys has got a function. Your lungs fill your chest, but it's got a function. Everything God did is for a reason and a function. So the heart for Be Church and where you belong, where your part is you're not here, you've got a function. If you are visiting for the first time today, you've got a function. We call you to account. We call you and say, God has got a place for you in His body. You've got a function. Are you functioning or are you watching your neighbor and say, I don't like the way he's functioning? But we are called to different places. We are called with different functions because the finger, how many of you tried to pick your nose with your toe? It's not working that nice, is it? The finger's got a function. Sorry. Some of you work with pictures, I know. But there's a place and there's a function. And the body needs to function. And then Ephesians keeps on speaking and he says, hey, when every part of the body, every member says functions properly. So we mustn't be just there, you know, like the pass marks of education these days. If you get 30, he says functions properly. He says the body will build itself up in love. For by this you will be known as my disciples. Your love. When we start functioning, the body will build itself up in love. And God says, the world will know that we belong to Him and that we are His disciples. They will start seeing something because of the love that's in us. The world cannot see that because we are not functioning as we should. And that's why Be Church to be the church. We have to demonstrate what the church is. God calls us the body and the church. God calls us the body and the bride. But that's who we are. Come on. So you have a function and you have a place. So for the next 10 minutes, we're going to do that. We're going to anoint you. We're not going to pray. We're not going to prophesy because you see now no hand raised. Everyone has got a word. So what we're going to do is we're going to impart. We're just going to lay hands and say, Lord, we anoint you for the season to find your purpose and to function in your purpose, to function as you should. Come on. Is that okay? And receive that. Come with an expectation and a hunger. You need to come with that expectation. And if you don't know the function, if you don't know, then we'll help you. There's certain steps, there's certain courses, but we can pray afterwards. But for now, let's just do that impartation and release. Because there's a commissioning, there's an anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing sustains. The anointing does so many things. God has anointed you for purpose. God has anointed and consecrated you for your function. But this is the thing. Don't wait for somebody else. You have your place. You have your part to play. We can only operate to fullness when you fulfill your part. Amen? Does it make sense? I hope it stirs something in you again. This is the core of us. Be Church. God calls us to function. That's why we have the honor to send people out to go and bless again, because we're functioning. That we can go and be an aid, that we can see the kingdom. It's not about us. It's not about what we want. It's about what God calls. Are we true to the map and the DNA and the blueprint that God has given us? And again, it's not our blueprint. We didn't have this idea and say, Lord, come and we love for you to come and do this. No. We've been waiting on God. Says, Lord, what is your plan and your purpose for B Church in the East? What is your heart? What do we need to represent? What do we need to do, and help us to do that for your glory? See, it's not even, when we have a church, we will love to do this and that. It's, Lord, what is your plan? What does it look like? What is your purpose so that it can be fulfilled, isn't it? Amen. So let's pray, and then we can get the ministry teams here. Father, we say thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Father, you're a good father, and I come this morning as the father of this house. I come and I declare each and every one here, Father, to come to a place of account, but not just an account, but to come to a place of fulfilling their calling and their purpose, and to come into place to function completely and fully without defect. Father, that we will find that which you have for us, and that we will stand in the gap, Father, that we will glorify, and that the world can see that we are built up in love because we are your disciples. Father, I declare that no one in this place will ever miss their target. But whenever, like an arrow, they are shot out, they shall be full flight, and they shall hit their target and their assignment. They shall do that what they are called for. They shall be blessed in the going in and the going out. They shall know the voice of God. You will make your face to shine upon us. You will come and be the voice behind us saying, go left or go right. You shall be the one who declares and be our rear guard. You shall be the one that covers us. You are the one, Lord, that's the lifter of our heads, but also the one that goes before us. And like with Israel, you are the one that's cloud by day and fire by night. You are the God. You are the I am that I am. And that's what you've done when you formed us and you blew breath of life in us. That part of that I am, the divinity of who you are, you blew into us. And I said, I made you in my image and in my likeness. And you carry the essence of me. Function. So I call you to account, and I call you to a place where you will not be dysfunctional anymore. Where you will not be unsatisfied, but where you will fulfill your purpose. Where you will find fulfillment, and that what God has called you to be. I call to you and I say now, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Within you there's an exceeding great army, and you shall rise, and you shall stand and be strong, and you shall conquer the land. You shall take into possession the promise and that what God has given over you. No more shall the reproach be on you, but I shall return the reproach. I shall pull back the reproach, and I shall cause you to be blessed. Father, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that as we're going to lay hands and do that in a way to bring glory and activate, that you will do something in the hearts and in the spirits of everyone here, Lord. We love you.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bchurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.